Dan,
read the Word of God, please. We're going to be in chapter 10, verse 17. All right, let's go ahead. If you're there. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. Dear Lord, we do pray that you will meet with us today. May our hearts be open unto you, Lord, and may you give us what we need, and may we have your strength to apply it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles. Thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. Perhaps in the future, but I do want to stress today that it's very important that we look at our motives for everything we do in life. Our motives for eating. I want you to notice your pleasure is a byproduct of doing right. And God wants you to have pleasure. But notice here, he does not say, blessed art thou, O land, when thy princes, when thy king, when thy leaders eat for pleasure. No, for strength. And we know in the New Testament it says to the glory of God. So I want you to consider everything we do. When you seek after happiness as an end in itself, it always evades you. But when you do things right for the right purposes and the right reasons, you find the things you're looking for as a byproduct. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We know that. Another thing I want to stress to you today, title of my message is Drunk Food. Brain damage from junk food. I know that is a strange title of a sermon for this church. You probably would have never thought you would ever hear such a thing from this church. I'm being sarcastic. Yes, there is such a thing as sugar drunk. Years and years ago, I did a series called Drunk on Sugar, and I added a whole bunch of other things afterward. Since that time, research has exploded, verifying even more the things I brought forth years ago. What I want you to understand is that you are a whole person, and you consist of body, spirit, and soul. Spirit, soul, body. And the idea that you just take that body and do whatever you want and it has no bearing upon your spiritual life, that's Gnosticism. That's not Christianity. It's not Bible. And I believe we're finding out more and more that everything you do in your body is going to affect, especially what you eat and drink, how you feel, the temptations that you have, and your brain is part of your body. There is a ghost driving your brain, your spirit. But your brain is physical. And what you stick in your mouth is going to affect your brain. And you are either hurting your brain, damaging it, or you are helping it be strong and function properly. Notice we can eat for strength. And it says, not for drunkenness, meaning your leaders, blessed are you. So we can apply this in principle, generally, to every form of leadership, whether in the civil realm, in the church realm, in the family. Blessed is the land when leaders eat for strength and not for drunkenness. That means strength is in contrast to drunkenness. which means that drunkenness, you might as well say, is a form of weakness. Drunkenness is associated with weakness. So the question is this: if you can eat for strength, you can also eat for weakness, and the Bible inserted drunkenness for your weakness because you have excess, says the Bible, you have disorder, you have all of those things associated with drunkenness. Now, we need to ask, though, the question, how can you eat for drunkenness? We know how to eat for strength, at least we should, from the Bible, but we can at least understand the concept, but how do you eat for drunkenness? First of all, let's define drunkenness biblically. First of all, there is a drunkenness that is associated with alcohol, the drinking of alcohol. When you're dealing with alcoholic wine, the Bible says, look not at the wine. Don't even look at it. Moderate drinking of alcohol is not in the Bible. Look not at the wine. Don't even look at it. Wine is a mocker. And look at some of the things that this type of drunkenness, some of the characteristics of it. Psalms 107, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. That sure sounds like weakness to me. You don't have balance. You don't have coordination. Isaiah 19, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. That's pretty gross. But that's what you see to people drunken upon alcohol. Lamentations 4, thou shalt be drunken and shall make thyself naked. That's another thing you see continually in the Bible. And believe me, it still applies to this modern world. If you want to end up ashamed of yourself and end up naked, then mess around with alcohol. And that is one of the biggest curses upon your life and the biggest thing that will bring shame in your life to a young person or an old person. Stay away from alcohol and you can keep your purity and keep your honor. But you touch alcohol, you're in a lot of trouble. You're in a lot of trouble. Alcohol is associated with nakedness in more than one verse. So I show you what it means to be, or some characteristics of being drunk with alcohol. Now, when you're looking in the Bible and you see something like, I have drunk, that does not mean the person is drunken. It means they simply drank something, some liquid, whatever it may be. If you see something that says they were drunken, in the Bible, being drunk or drunken means that you are inebriated. You have drunk alcohol to the point of intoxication. However, you can be drunk with other things other than alcohol. And whatever you're drunk with will have its own qualities. There are various drugs that you could be drunk with. Now, we use drunken in a general sense. It primarily means to drink something and then be controlled by that substance. Full of that substance, if you will. Wormwood was a drug. You can be drunk with all kinds of drugs, provided you take the drug in liquid form. But God is not saying, well, as long as you don't take the drug in liquid form, it's okay to be under the control of the drug. If you sniff it or smoke it or whatever the case may be, eat it. No, the point is, intoxication, being under the influence of something that leads to impairment of your judgment, that leads to bad health, that leads to disorder and excess, is not of God. Now, what I want you to understand, though, you can be drunken. Are we listening today? You can be drunken. This is the Word of God, the Holy Word of God. You can be drunken by merely eating and drinking too much of any substance. Just as there is a gluttony for eating too much food, even though the food be good, you can be drunken from eating or drinking something that is healthy in itself, but you have consumed it with a lack of moderation. So now, even though you are not intoxicated, inebriated in one sense, in the same way as you would see with alcohol, you are nevertheless impaired in your judgment. And this is something I believe the Bible makes clear. 1 Corinthians 11 says, "For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and then he says another is drunken." You would expect him to say another is full. So the idea is, instead of having the Lord's Supper as a remembrance of the Lord's body, as an ordinance in the church where they sat down and thought about what they were doing, they were all rushing to get the food or get the drink, and some were going hungry, when another man was totally consumed with food and drink. In other words, he had indulged in it. He had indulged in it. He is drunken. Now, a lot of people see that word drunken and they assume he was drinking alcohol, so they say the Lord's Supper should be fermented. Why? That is not true. Just look at the contrast. Look at the contrast. Hungry, drunken. I believe he's saying one extreme is you have a man that is hungry. The other extreme is he's a glutton. He's a drunkard. You can be a drunkard by abusing something that is non-alcoholic. And I'm telling you, when we eat the wrong things or drink the wrong things, it affects your judgment. It affects your brain. It doesn't have to be alcoholic. And I believe you will see our Lord makes this very clear. He makes this very clear. He says in Luke 21, after talking about raging waves of the sea and talking about people falling away and betraying one another and talking about false prophets and earthquakes and all these things that are going to arise in the last days, he says, take heed in Luke 21. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. Look at that now. Your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. That means eating too much. And drunkenness. So eating too much and drinking too much are right beside each other. The Lord is saying that you can be drunk, so to speak. I'm using the word in a loose sense. The Lord is saying you can be drunk, overcharged in your mind, overcharged in your brain by eating too much and by drinking too much. And notice, cares of this life. You can just be so involved with the cares of this life that you might as well be drunk. Paul says we ought not sleep as do others in these last days. And we ought not be drunk like they are in these last days. So God forbid that you're drunk on alcohol. But it goes along with that same spirit. But there is an abuse of food and drink that is a gateway to alcohol, just as alcohol itself leads to further abuse of food and drink. You can be in a mental state where that day comes upon you unawares, the second coming of Christ. What did it to you? Just all the cares of this life. You're drunk on the cares of this life. You might be intoxicated, so to speak, with your addiction and abuse of food. And remember, it's important to have moderation in the things that are good. But true moderation means abstaining totally from anything that's hurtful, harmful, or poisonous. You don't say, well, this is poison, but I'm just going to take it moderately. No, that's not moderation. For a snare, as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore. Boy, you need to be sober. Stay awake is what the Lord's saying. And pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. We want to be translated at His coming. We want to be able to stand before Him and reign in the coming millennial kingdom and hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And what is so important, our Lord, you might think this is out of line. You might think it is a distraction to dwell upon junk food and how you eat. But our Lord Jesus Christ, I defy any man to prove me different. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when dealing with His last days, His Olivet Discourse, His second coming, ends the sermon by saying, you better be ready for my second coming, so you better be careful of how you eat and drink, because it's going to play a key in whether or not you are aware spiritually of everything that's going on around you. Wow. Wow. So obviously, when Solomon says we ought to eat for strength and not for drunkenness, he's saying that there is one way of eating which will bring strength to you. And there is one way of eating that will bring drunkenness to you. And you can just apply drunkenness to all forms of drunkenness. But whatever it is, it's not good for you. It's not good for your mental state. It's not good for your physical state. It's not good for your spiritual state. He says in Luke 12, but and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Notice, something's wrong with his heart. Wonder how his heart got overcharged and confused. And shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and listen to this, and to eat and drink and to be drunken. Again, it does not imply absolutely alcohol. He may end up abusing alcohol, just as any drinking of alcohol is abusing alcohol, but he may end up drinking alcohol just as he's abusing food and drink. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him. Notice, something's wrong with his whole heart. And at an hour when he is not aware, something's wrong with him. And will cut him in sunder and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Again, our Lord ends this section warning about his second coming, and he stresses eating and drinking. Why preachers don't stress what the Lord, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, stresses, I will never understand. Why they don't give a warning of what an abuse of food and drink will do to your life spiritually, do to your health, do to your brain, I will never understand. So let's go back and ask, how can we eat for drunkenness? How can we eat in such a way that it leads to drunkenness? There are several ways. Whether we define drunkenness as alcoholic drunkenness, or whether you just have some type of heart overcharging, some type of gluttony associated with food and drink, some type of poisoning of your body and brain because of your lust and addiction and unwise eating. We know, and I will not quote the proof, because I believe all of you know that bad diet is associated with alcohol consumption. A lot of people stress that when people get drunk with alcohol, they choose the worst food possible to eat. The food industry understands that. They will abuse it. They will be gluttons, but they will also choose the worst food. Drunk food is what they call it. But what a lot of people don't realize is that they're starting to understand now there's a way of eating as a child that becomes a gateway drug, so to speak, for alcohol abuse. If you're always abusing the reward center of your brain, why would you not turn to some other drug that also helps you get that high, that reward in your brain, whether it be cocaine or alcohol or whatever it will be? So there are many writing articles and studies, and they're showing how, guess what? We now believe sugar is the biggest gateway drug. And you better start teaching your young people while they're young to learn how to control themselves and beware of dangerous food, so-called food. But let's just back up a second. How can you eat for drunkenness? Well, there seems to be some scientific evidence, though they questioned it for a while. They're starting to believe the reality that a person can actually eat sugar and abuse sugar and have such an unhealthy gut that they turn their body into a brewery and brew alcohol. How many would like to change our King James Bible? It is impossible to eat for drunkenness. You better watch messing around with the King James Bible. Washington Post, 2020. She wasn't drinking after all. Her bladder was brewing its own alcohol. Her urine did contain sugar and yeast, the two key ingredients for fermentation. And ferment it did. Researchers found yeast-rich urine samples became increasingly alcoholic when the sugars were allowed to ferment in the lab. The woman's bladder brewery is not the first instance of auto-brewery syndrome documented by doctors. Scientists said in a study last year that fungi in a man's gut were brewing alcohol that made him act drunk. In the 20 years since the year 2000, several additional cases and news reports have documented suspected instances of the syndrome. A more recent study in 2019 concluded auto-brewery syndrome is probably an underdiagnosed medical condition. I just throw that in as something very interesting, because as a man was sitting here eating sugar and eating sugar, he had so much mess inside of his body, and he just started, according to the news reports and the medical diagnosis, he started just brewing alcohol and acted drunk and became drunk, though he was swearing, "I have not touched alcohol." I believe if we eat the way the Bible said to eat, there's no way that that would happen. At least we have a better chance of all. There are other ways that you can promote brain damage and hinder the function of your brains other than alcohol. Junk food, which we might call drunk food, whether or not alcohol is involved, is hurting you. We know our God says He wants you to remember His benefits. Forget them not, Psalms 103. And He tells you that one of the benefits is He gives you food that will renew your youth. That's strength. There's a way you can eat that fights against aging. And there's a way that you can eat that promotes aging. I'm not saying that until Jesus comes, our Lord, that you'll ever ultimately win. But the Bible says Moses' eyes were not dimmed. And Caleb said in his 80s that he was as strong as he was at 40. There is certainly some difference you can make by obeying God and getting a hold of this. Insider in chapter September 2020 says eating a lot of processed foods could cause your body to age more quickly, a new study suggests. Well, there you go. God says, I want you to eat for strength. He says, remember one of my benefits, that I give you good things to eat, that your youth will be renewed. Researchers from the University of Navarra in Spain studied DNA samples and eating habits of 886 participants. The risk also appeared to increase with even a little more processed food each day. Processed foods are linked to a greater risk of long-term illness, but researchers found that ultra-processed foods were linked to issues such as depression. Extensive research has linked the Mediterranean diet to health benefits. There you go, Bible diet. So it may seem obvious that the opposite eating pattern, a diet high in junk food, is linked to faster aging. Again, our King James Bible is correct. This new study, however, is the first to show this kind of link between short telomeres and processed food overall. Previous research also found sugary beverages and alcohol and processed meats are linked to short telomeres too, meaning that you are aging quickly. Processed food causes you to be older than you should be by your age, meaning it causes a deterioration in your health that speeds up your aging process. By eating the way God says and following His ways will actually slow down that process and even repair to some degree what age has done to you. There we go. Genetically altered spuds, Prozac, MSG burgers, fluoride springs, aspartame, cola. There we go. There's your modern American. He's so spiritual, isn't he? Yes, indeed. He says, you know, there's nothing to do with the body. It has nothing to do. We're a nice Baptist, and we can do whatever we want, eat however we want, be a glutton. We can be unwise in our eating. It doesn't matter because we're a modern Gnostic. Our body has nothing to do with anything. It's all spiritual. And then they're going to spend the rest of the time praying for sicknesses and wondering what's wrong with the brains of the people in this age. And I'm saying, if God brings it by His providence, let's get on our knees. But if there's something we can do so the curse causeless shall not come, if there's something we can do, then get up, Joshua! Get up off thy face! There's sin in the camp! If there's ignorance in our churches, ignorance in your family, and that's why you're getting sick, that's why your brain is deteriorating, and let's get up off our faces and fix this thing and start acting like intelligent people that walk on two legs and stand upright instead of eating like a bunch of animals. The animals won't eat this stuff half the time. Here is a journal, Current Opinion, Clinical Nutrition, Metabolism, Metabolic Care, 2013. This research has revealed that sugar and sweet reward can not only substitute to addictive drugs like cocaine, but can even be more rewarding and attractive. At the neurobiological level, the neural substrates of sugar and sweet reward appear to be more robust than those of cocaine. Now you just sit and think about that for a second. You just think about that. That came out after, years after my Drunk on Sugar series. And these studies are showing you that that cane sugar is so addictive that it has an allure. It has a hold on people that is stronger than cocaine. What does that mean? It means I can preach things like this. And I can show you over and over what it's doing to your body, and you'll go home and continue to do the exact same. You'll go home and rot your teeth out. You'll go home and get diabetes. You'll go home and give it to your children because your children are addicted. Something that powerful, mixed with propaganda and advertising. Wow. Addiction. Addiction. The Bible says don't eat for weakness and drunkenness, eat for strength. Annals.org says a poor diet caused a young man's blindness, according to a case report published in Annals of Internal Medicine. The risk for poor cardiovascular health, obesity, and cancer associated with junk food consumption are well known. But poor nutrition can also permanently damage the nervous system, particularly your vision. By age 15, this boy had developed hearing loss and vision symptoms. Well, what caused this boy to lose his hearing? Lose his eyesight. The patient confessed that since elementary school, he had only ate French fries, Pringles, white bread, processed ham slices, and sausage. And by the time his condition was diagnosed, the patient had permanently impaired his vision. In other words, they couldn't fix it. You say, well, I still see pretty good, I still hear pretty good, but what else have you done to your body? Because this sounds like the average Baptist diet. Royal Society 2020 says animals fed a Western-style diet, not Mediterranean, a Western-style diet, demonstrate rapid impairments in the hippocampal function of the brain and poor appetitive control. We examine if this also occurs in humans. An extensive literature suggests that even brief exposure to a Western-style diet, rich in saturated fat and added sugar, results in selective impairment on tests of hippocampal-dependent learning and memory. Emerging evidence in humans suggests a similar conclusion. Studies included tests of verbal paired associate learning, visual memory, and episodic memory with associations to a Western diet. These data suggest that the more a person conforms to a Western diet, the more likely they are to perform poorly on hippocampal-dependent neuropsychological tasks. 1 week's exposure to a Western diet caused a measurable weakening of appetitive control. What they're saying is 1 week of fast food milkshakes damaged the part of the brain which normally stops people from gluttony. Now listen to what they said. 1 week of going to a fast food place and drinking milkshake, just 1 week, stopped a function in their brain related to self-control in regard to food. Just 1 week. Now, the Bible says you ought to eat for strength and not for drunkenness. Don't you want to eat in a way that helps your self-control, helps empower your brain? Or do you want to weaken your brain and damage your brain so now it becomes harder, you have more temptation to eat garbage? Just 1 week. What about if you've done this 10, 15 years? What about if you've raised children 15 years to eat this way? What have you done to them? If 1 week damaged that brain, what in the world are you doing to your kids? They performed worse on cognitive tests after 1 week. That means their brain didn't work when it came to memory and other things. Melissa Breyer writes, February 21st, 2020, indulging in a Western-style diet for 7 days, she's just commenting upon what we just read, impaired the brain function in healthy young people and made them want to overeat, researchers find. Hot on the heels of research concluding that a Mediterranean diet does wonders for the gut microbe, a new study looks into what a Western-style diet does to the brain. The researchers found that after a week of adding high-fat and high-added sugar foods to previously healthy diets, volunteers' memory and learning performance declined, as did their resistance to junk food. The Western-style diet is one that is abundant in highly processed and refined foods with a lot of added sugar, sodium, and unhealthy fats. For the study, the researchers recruited 110 college students who were lean, healthy, and currently consuming a nutritious diet. The authors say, we also found that a Western diet induced a decline in HDLM performance in the Western diet group. HDLM is a measurement of hippocampal-dependent learning and memory. The authors conclude that a Western diet causes neurocognitive impairments. following short-term exposure, short-term exposure, short-term exposure. The study, hippocampal-dependent appetitive control is impaired by experimental exposure to a Western-style diet, was published in the Royal Society of Open Science. So they're saying after a week on a Western-style diet, snacks such as chocolate, Little Debbie cakes, become more desirable. Even when you're full. Even when you're full. You're having trouble with your shut-off mechanism. Even though you're full, it's telling you, still go eat that. Still go eat that. You got brain damage. That's what happened. You got brain damage. Express.co.uk 2014, too much junk food leads to memory loss. It found that a diet packed with high-fat cakes, pastries, chips, and fast foods has a massive impact on the mind. I'm sure they mean brain. Dangerous trans fats are known to raise the risk of diabetes, cancer, heart disease, dementia. But the American study is the first to produce clear results on memory impairment. Lead author Dr. Beatrice Gollum of the University of California, San Diego, said while trans fats increase the shelf life of foods, they reduce the shelf life of people. Trans fats are also thought to reduce the body's ability to absorb omega-3 oils, which protect the heart and brain. What are they saying? Trans fat. Remember back in the 20s, I preached sermons on it. They said, you got to switch to Crisco. Crisco is healthy. Get rid of your olive oil and butter. We need Crisco. And they killed a whole generation, multiple generations throughout the 20th century. And then in the 90s, they came out and said, you might want to stay away from margarine. Kroger put down at the bottom of their website, if you buy margarine or Crisco from this store, we are not responsible for your heart attack. And so I preached on that and showed how after all of those years, they just switched it and said, oops, trans fats are killing you. That's what's clogging your arteries. Are one of the things. So they're still out there, even though the world has turned against them to some degree due to the science. They're still out there. Vegetable shortening, microwave popcorn, pizza, fast food, still have them in there. Crackers, cookies, biscuits, cinnamon rolls, frosting, french fries, all have trans fats still to this day. What did they say these things do? They block your ability to absorb omega-3. What are omega-3s? What are omega-3s? Cod liver oil. You ought to be taking some of that every now and then because we're having trouble with our fish, aren't we? We're having trouble with polluted waters. Olive oil has some. But olive oil is high in some flavonoids which exert the same effects. So we need olive oil, a little bit of cod liver oil every now and then. But the trans fats block your ability to absorb even the little bit that you're getting. God help our brains. 2 + 2 = 5. Do you know they're actually coming out and saying this is true now? There's colleges and they're having courses and they're saying this is true. They're actually saying that the idea that 2 + 2 = 4 is white supremism. They're actually saying that, you know, just they can just throw that in anywhere, you know. They're saying we got to get rid of the objective mind, objective reasoning, and all of this that 2 + 2 = 4. We got to get rid of it. Sounds like these people have eaten a lot of Little Debbie cakes, huh? Research from UCLA shows that too much of the sugar known as high fructose corn syrup. Open up things at Walmart. Just walk around and pick things up and look at the back. Look at the back of your ketchup. Look at the back of the bread. Look at the back of, look at your soda drinks. Look at high fructose corn syrup and just about everything still. Even after all these years of studies, people are addicted to it. You want quick brain damage, just continue to drink that trash. Praise God, when I got saved, by 1990, all high fructose corn syrup, all cane sugar was out of my life. And praise God for it. Research from UCLA shows too much of the sugar known as high fructose corn syrup can impact your ability to think. The study shows that consuming high fructose corn syrup affects memory and actually slows down learning. That's just what you want in your child, huh? They gave one group of rats a diet high in high fructose corn syrup and another group a diet high in omega-3s. There we go again. The rats on the high fructose corn syrup diet had a much harder time recalling a maze they had seen previously. You know, you go to your boy, you say, how come you can't remember anything? How come you can't remember what I told you? And they took more time completing the maze compared to the group of rats given the omega-3 diet. Omega-3 fatty acids are known to be able to counteract insulin resistance and help maintain brain development. The average American consumes more than 40 pounds of high fructose corn syrup each year. God help us. Wow. I think a lot of people are getting more than 40 pounds. Well, now we're back to that poor fellow again. He's trying. He's trying. But you know what the Bible says? Blessed is the Lamb when the leaders have this thing straight about diet. Why is the Lamb blessed? Because then the children can have an example and they can have magistrates in the land to encourage godliness and wisdom and eating in wisdom. What a blessing if your parents help you eat right. What a blessing if the leaders help you to avoid these addictive substances. Science Daily, 2012, says, our findings illustrate that what you eat affects how you think, said Fernando Gomez Pinella, professor of neurosurgery at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA and a professor of integrative biology and physiology in the UCLA College of Letters and Science. Eating a high fructose diet over the long term alters your brain's ability to learn and remember information. But adding omega-3 fatty acids to your meals can help minimize the damage. I got a better idea. How about drink the olive oil, take some cod liver every now and then from good sources, and stay away from stupid, wicked frankenfoods like high fructose corn syrup? Why wouldn't it bring a curse? Honey is a picture of God's promises and God's wisdom and the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something. Man's imitation sugars are satanic in that regard, as they picture the Word of God, as they picture a counterfeit to the Word of God. Cod liver oil every now and then, unless you can find a clean source of salmon somewhere, grab you a little bit of that, get you some vitamin D, and they're saying that is helping people fight these viruses, these pestilences in this day and age, you know. The emerging role, says Nutrition Journal 2013, of dietary fructose in obesity and cognitive decline. High fructose corn syrup accounts for as much as 40% of caloric sweeteners used in the United States. Not only does midlife obesity increase the risk of developing late life dementia, but also lower cognitive performance earlier in life is itself a risk factor for dementia later in life. There's been a substantial increase in the amount of high fructose corn syrup found in the North American diet, primarily in soft drinks and fruit drinks. Rats fed a high-fat, high-glucose diet and given access to high-fructose corn syrup displayed significant impaired cognitive function. Results from animal studies show that diets with higher sucrose, that's your white cane sugar content, result in memory impairment. Inflammation is correlated with cognitive decline and dementia. It just all brings inflammation. It brings all that oxidation, all those horrible things that you do not need in your body, not to mention aluminum and BPA and all the other trash they got in those artificial flavorings that is in there. I just wonder. I don't understand people sometimes. You're going to rot your teeth out, rot your brain out, give yourself diabetes. I don't understand it. I really don't. Belmera Health 215 says junk food affects the brain and mental health by shrinking the hippocampus. Unhealthy diets containing junk food have been shown to affect the brain and lead to poor mental health. The findings come from researchers at Deakin University and the Australian National University. Specific findings concluded that a part of the brain, the hippocampus, has been shown to be smaller in those who consume junk food. The hippocampus is responsible for learning and memory and mental health. Also, overconsumption of calories can result in the brain being unable to produce healthy synapses responsible for learning and memory. So notice, gluttony can cause brain damage. That's what it's saying. So we ought to eat in due season for strength. But there are certain things that you can eat that tempt you toward gluttony. So isn't it just like the devil? How did he begin this whole thing? Hey, why don't you come over here and eat something God doesn't want you to eat? He hasn't changed very much. Saying to the woman, why don't you come snack over here on this? It'll help you feel better. You get a temporary high only to crash later into more depression. The areas of the brain associated with learning: high fructose corn syrup, sugar, junk food. I've done everything in my power since my children were born and before to save them from this wicked Western diet and give them something better. I'm thankful my daughter was able to stand up and quote the whole book of Ecclesiastes, all 12 chapters. I'm not bragging, I'm just thankful for that. I'm thankful that she has a brain that can process that. Professor Nicholas Cherbuin, the lead author of new research published in Frontiers in Neuroendocrinology, said brain health can decline much earlier in life than previously thought. Listen to me, young people. Wake up. I want you to listen to me right now. New studies show brain health can decline much earlier in life than previously thought. Listen to me. People are eating away at their brain with a really bad fast food diet and little to no exercise, says Professor Cherbuin from the ANU Center for Research on Aging, Health, and Well-Being. Our work shows that neurodegeneration, or the loss in function of neurons, sets in much, much earlier. We found a clear association between this brain deterioration and unhealthy lifestyle choices. The damage done is pretty much irreversible once a person reaches midlife. I hope he's wrong about that, but there is some evidence that that's true. One of the best chances people have of avoiding preventable brain problems down the track is to eat well and exercise from a young age. Why wouldn't this be true? A child's brain is maturing all the way up into the early 20s. Why would you not feed that brain and give it every possible chance that it has in this cursed world? The message is simple. But listen to this. Bringing about positive change will be a big challenge. He's saying this eating thing is a challenge that's somewhat overwhelming. You know what it's going to take? Listen to what he says. Individuals, parents, and medical professionals and governments all have an important role to play. Listen, I don't want a lot of mandating of things. I don't want an overreaching government, because you can't trust the government. But I'm saying we ought to have example and some reproofs. And we ought to have some parents and some pastors and other leaders. This is why the Bible said, blessed, O land, when your king eats in due season for strength. Blessed are you, O land, when your princes eat for strength and not for drunkenness. Why is that? Because now young people can have some structure. They can have some example. They can have some boundaries in their life. They'll have a chance, in other words. The next generation will have a chance. Some of you have been with me quite a while. Some out there in internet land have been listening for quite a while. Maybe you skip over some of this health stuff. Maybe you roll your eyes at it. How long are you going to continue rolling your eyes? Neuroscience News in 2020 says junk food orders up trouble for young brains. Uh-oh. That teenager in your kitchen feasting on fast food and candy bars and pop might not be able to help themselves. All the more reason for adults to help them before they cause long-term damage to their developing brains. The study, Adolescent Obesity and Dietary Decision Making, A Brain Health Perspective, was published today in The Lancet Child and Adolescent Health. As adolescents overstimulate their reward system, these unhealthy diets can result in poor cognitive control and heightened impulsivity as they move into adulthood. This demonstrates the importance of changing behaviors and helping adolescents form healthy habits early on to minimize changes to their brain. Blessed, O land, when your leaders, when your king and princes. Blessed, O land, when they eat for due season, for strength and not for drunkenness. Blessed are you. If your parents and your older sister and your grandmother and people in your life help you eat right. Because a young brain in teenage years, although you are responsible, there are parts of your brain that are not fully formed when it comes to understanding consequences. That's why you need leadership. Oh, what's wrong with that? Because a little here and a little there, people say, oh, a little doesn't hurt you. A little. Notice how much their little becomes. It becomes an addiction. It's like somebody saying to a drug, a little bit doesn't hurt. A little bit of alcohol doesn't hurt. And then they get impaired in their judgment, and now they can't drive home. I told you about a couple that I knew, an older couple, that said, oh, we just drink a little bit. We learned it in France, you know. We just drink a little bit with our meals. And then downtown street preaching, I saw them where they couldn't walk. They couldn't walk. They couldn't make it to their car. Just a little bit, huh? Well, that little bit turns into a lot over time. And you lose the ability to even know what a little bit is because you're addicted. Why don't you help your children get a hold of this? Before they end up with that, and they're addicted to it. Even though they know what it's bringing, even though they know it's rotting their teeth, rotting their brain, causing insulin damage, diabetes, which, by the way, leads to more cognitive impairment. Praise God, He gave us honey and said, let's be moderate with it. He gave us the palm trees, and He gave us raisins and grape juice and said, now be moderate with these things. Praise God, some pomegranate juice, a fig, a date, a little coconut sugar, a little bit of honey, raw honey. Praise God, they found out that that somehow or another saves your teeth. Somehow or another it adds things to your body that you need. But even with these wonderful things, God says don't overdo it, lest you get sick and vomit. You'll be like a drunk person. AddictionHope.com says a study carried by Scripps Research Institute was able to show that the kinds of high-fat, high-sugar meals served at fast food restaurants have a similar effect on the brain as cocaine and heroin. The Scripps research team concluded that fast food can trigger addiction-like neuroadaptive changes in the brain, leading to compulsive overeating. They're saying something in your brain breaks down and your judgment is impaired. What did God say in Proverbs 23? They have stricken me. You're not aware. You're not aware because you're inebriated. Thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me and I felt it not. There's some people walking around, they're not aware of anything. They're like in a daze. video games, soft drinks, high fructose corn syrup. They're just walking around in a daze. Sugar crashes all the time, depressed. They're going up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Even though it caused your last crash, even though it's leading to depression and your body's falling apart, you're going to seek it yet again. You're going to go right back to it. I remember a music store my family had, and we would sit and we would say, well, what are we going to eat for lunch today? And there was McDonald's, there was Burger King. This was before 1990. And I remember we'd go over and we would get whatever it was for lunch. And I would always feel so terrible. But it'd always be good. You'd always want it that next day. Even though you just felt so terrible. And I would ask myself, why am I feeling like this? And one day I did something that, oh, I can't believe I did it, but I did it. After I'd eaten half of that Burger King hamburger, I looked at it. And I said to myself, what am I eating? What is this? Look at that. That doesn't look like me. Take a bite of it and look in it. That does not look like, what in the world is this that I'm eating? That was my awakening, so to speak. I became a Christian, and the first thing I did was read a book on nutrition and study the Bible and read everything on health I could from Christians. And haven't got everything right over the years, but I'm thankful for the things I did get right. I'm thankful for the basics that I have gotten right. And I'm thankful that I haven't missed a Sunday ever since, and I'm still here to preach for you. And by God's grace, I pray He comes soon, but I pray I'll just be able to continue on and on and on. And the next generation I'll just continue to preach for. And the next generation, I don't know. We're going to do whatever we can to claim and believe God's promises. Amen? But if He calls us out of here, He does. Alcohol leads to addiction. So does abusing any sin. And anything you do ignorantly leads to addiction. Dominic Min Duc Tran, I'm not getting his name straight, he wrote a paper called The Effects of High-Fat, High-Sugar Diets on Spatial Information and Processing and Object Recognition Memory. He said rats exposed to high-fat, high-sugar diet were worse on a place recognition task. This impairment in place recognition was present after only a few days on the diet, and it persisted across the test. The diet-induced impairment was reversed by removal of the diet. When presented with two familiar objects that differed from when they were first pre-exposed, rats fed the high-fat, high-sugar diet showed impaired memory for the remote object. Just over and over and over and over. How many times we got to show it? It's messing with your brain, folks. It's messing with your brain. You don't notice it because you didn't run off the road necessarily. You're able to walk, so to speak. But I'm saying things are going on up there in the mental department more than you realize. And you start feeling fuzzy in the brain, and what do you turn to? I got to get caffeine. I got to get something to give me some type of awakening to my brain. That's not what you need, folks. You don't need a drug to try to get rid of the fuzziness. You need good health. You need brain food. You need nutrition. Not poison, high fructose corn syrup. Negative impact of sugar on the brain. In the brain, excess sugar impairs both our cognitive skills and our self-control. A study published in PLOS ONE found that sweet foods can be more addictive than cocaine. Investigators found that intense sweetness can surpass cocaine reward, even in drug-sensitized and addicted individuals. No, give me the sugar. Even a single instance of elevated glucose in the bloodstream can be harmful to the brain. And that's what cane sugar does. It goes right into your bloodstream. Super fast. It goes right up there to the brain. Floods it. Just one instance of elevated glucose in the bloodstream can be harmful to the brain, resulting in slowed cognitive function and deficits in memory and attention. Boy, we're having an attention problem. Some research suggests high sugar consumption causes inflammation in the brain, leading to memory difficulties. A 2016 study published in Behavioral Brain Research found inflammatory markers were present in the hippocampus of rats fed a high sugar diet, but not in those fed a standard diet. A 2017 study in the journal Appetite found that memory damage caused by sugar consumption can be reversed. Oh, we have some hope. An analysis of dietary consumption and mood of 23,245 individuals found higher rates of sugar consumption was associated with a greater incidence of depression. Frequent exposure to high glucose levels diminishes mental capacity. A diet high in added sugar reduces the production of brain-derived neurotrophic factor, a brain chemical essential for new memory formation and learning. Lower levels of BDNF are also linked to dementia and Alzheimer's disease. Joel Foreman, Dr. Furman, verywellmind.com. Science Daily, Ohio State University, fast food consumption linked to lower test scores in eighth graders. Researchers found that the more frequently children reported eating fast food in fifth grade, the lower their growth in reading, math, science test scores by the time they reached eighth grade. The results remained even after the researchers took into account a wide variety of other factors. FoodNDTV.com 2019 says, beware, consuming junk food may impact memory and cognition. That's your thinking ability. A study titled Perineuronal Nets, Plasticity, Protection, and Therapeutic Potential was published in the journal Trends in Neuroscience. It reveals a key link between diet and memory. These PNNs are responsible for protecting the neurons and also play a role in deciding how the brain turns experiences into memories. But junk foods are said to cause toxic inflammation, which damages these nets, so to speak, and the neurons that they protect. Boy, the Bible says eat for strength, not for drunkenness. Don't eat for brain damage. I tell you, for half the 20th century, people have been eating for brain damage in America. And I believe it's starting to show. I think there's going to come a time, and you know, they're spreading that stuff down to Mexico and all, high fructose corn syrup, they're marketing down in Mexico, they're going after all these other nations. You know, I understand that that wine that Babylon pours out upon the whole world, I understand, we've got psychiatric drugs, we've got all kinds of drug abuse, we've got the philosophies and the propaganda and the sorcery, but we just got some plain junk, okay? The nations are mad just for plain junk spread all over the world. God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. Dear Lord, we do pray that you would help us, help this church right now, Lord. Help those listening. God, I don't know when. I don't know when somebody's going to wake up, Father. I believe some may never wake up, God, but I hope not. I pray not. I pray we can do whatever we can right now to understand that there is an agenda, a satanic agenda, and some of Satan's human servants are no doubt involved in it. I've quoted where they said they're going to do it. But Lord, a lot of this is just the love of money, where you said all evil comes, is rooted in at least, the love of money. A lot of this is just economic. A lot of it is just that we want the easy way. Our flesh wants the lazy way. But Lord, the more we get into it, the more we dive into it, the more we give ourselves to it, the more it controls us, God. And the more we become slaves to it. So I pray right now, it may take suffering, but I pray many right now will just be able to break the addiction. We'll be able to break the stronghold that Satan has to ensure, because he comes to kill, Lord, you've told us. He comes to steal our youth and steal our strength. And I do believe that families are being disrupted because of hormones out of control because of blood sugar and depression and anxiety and just plain cognitive impairment. Father, you said the spirit of man will sustain our infirmity. But Lord, how hard it is when our body is in a mess, fighting against us. Lord, help us to eat to your glory. Help us to grow and learn and study and open our eyes to these things, that we be not mocked by the unbelievers. That we bring not reproach upon thy word. Here we are, Lord, with so much evidence of the Mediterranean diet where you could get the glory, Father. But your people, in many cases, have forgot this wonderful benefit. Lord, I thank you for what all this good food and good drink, such as grape juice, I thank you for what it represents, Lord. I thank you for your blood, the blood of thy Son, that gives us eternal life. And we thank you for these foods, this way of eating that you've outlined for us, to stay away from man's garbage and man's manipulation. That we might have fullness of life in our body, our brains, that we might be a testimony to teach people about eternal life, millennial life. Come quickly, may we be aware, not overcharged, not drunken with the cares of this life. In Jesus' holy name, amen.